Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bolas.
Come again, less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for the first time ever, I'm in a quiet studio to start the podcast for once, as I'm joined via Zoom by Mr. Archie Curzon. Archie, do you hear me for EP 136?
Hola, champion. Hola.
I see you. Oh, mate, you're looking sheet white. Have you not been out in the sun?
No, mate. I've got to be honest, it's a very different holiday. I'm out here with my daughter, Johnny Jono Haskell-Bender on Curzon.
Yeah.
She's not been on the best form, mate. She doesn't like the sun. And with babies, you can't just, they don't like sunbathing like adults.
Right.
So first day we got here, took her to a sunbed around the pool, plopped her down, put some shades on her, put some bronzing oil on her like myself. And we had a good session for 4 hours. But just a quick note to anyone that's got children or anyone that's going to have children. Babies have very delicate skin. She was very badly burnt.
That's shocking.
And so we've had to spend the last 4 days inside.
Yeah.
Very dehydrated,
yeah.
Because also the thing is, she's not at the age where she can grab herself a drink.
No.
I have to, and the nanny normally does a lot of this, so yeah. I didn't realize I had to actually physically put the water in her mouth.
Yeah. So you didn't bring the nanny?
No. It's that's hence why the holiday, because
right.
The nanny's gone back to see her family.
Right, okay,
back
sorry.
Home, and
right.
So I didn't really want to be looking after her in London.
No,
I thought,
no, no.
Why not, you know, take us away? Because she's a girl, I thought,
yeah, yeah.
You know, girls love just chilling out by the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's a baby, really. She's not a girl.
Yeah.
And it's coming to realize that, you know, looking after a baby is really difficult. So she got very badly burned. She has been very sleepy.
Yeah.
I had to obviously take her to the hospital. She's all fine, by the way. She's
yeah.
all fine now. She's actually got it now. We're 4 days in after being severely burnt. She's got a beautiful color.
Well, that's great.
She's got a beautiful color.
So actually, kind of worth the sacrifice.
Yeah,
honest,
I mean,
I mean,
I've had two sleepless nights. I mean, she was in agony.
Yeah.
And now it's a very much looking after her.
But you've still got a couple of days out there before you come back.
Yes.
Now she's starting to feel better and she's looking
yeah.
good. Are you going to do? Because
yeah,
last week you were saying you're going to take on the infamous tour of all the nightclubs in Valdoloba.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to maybe get?
Other thing is, I've researched that strict policy: no children at nightclubs.
Really?
Yeah, even though, you know, I'm a very well-known figure. So we're going to do a couple of long lunches. Again, it's tricky because
yeah.
she's of the age. I mean, she's... No, I'll be honest with you, she's very sweet.
Yeah.
But still, you know, we are 8 months in. There is zero banter.
Right. Do you have eyes on her now? Is she okay? Is she breathing?
Yeah, she's fine. She's here. She's playing with her little rugby ball I brought out with her,
cool.
Which she takes everywhere. It's I got it from the Hilton, which I stayed
last
week.
Little, yeah, yeah.
Which, again, I'm now thinking that would have been a better place for me
better
and Johnny
holiday.
Jono, yeah, to go.
You've
for,
been 10 minutes from Clapham.
Yeah,
and
10 minutes from home. So if you need anything, because, you know, like I didn't really realize that. You need nappies, milk here,
yeah.
and food. So another lesson I've learned out here is, you know, you can't just order off the menu for her.
No,
you have to. You know, she hasn't
give
got,
her
she
specified
hasn't got teeth.
Food.
She
yep.
hasn't got teeth.
She doesn't have teeth. You have to give her baby food.
So yeah, so it's in a nice way, which I said to her, but she didn't really get the joke. I said, "You're a cheap date."
Yeah, yeah. apart from the hospital
yeah.
bill.
Yeah, that was extensive.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah.
be honest. And one thing, if anyone's taking children abroad, get insurance.
Get insurance.
I didn't even really think that. You know.
Yeah.
I got pet insurance,
yeah, yeah.
but that's not the
no,
same.
No, it doesn't cover it. Doesn't
yeah,
cover a baby.
Yeah. And I thought because she's the same size of a dog,
it would cover
that
it.
Would cover,
doesn't.
It doesn't.
But it's been a big learning curve.
It's been,
it sounds.
It's been
you've learned a lot in a couple
really,
of days.
We've really bonded.
Good.
I've done a couple of nappies out here.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's something.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
No.
And the one thing I've got to say is, I mean, she's been on great form, but she gets very sleepy. She's
yeah,
not,
yeah.
you know, like I'm a 5 a.m. a wake up.
Yeah.
I go to bed at 10. You know, and not like a few drinks in a day.
Yeah, yeah.
She can't keep up. She's knackered by like, you know, I get her up at 5 when I'm getting up, so yeah. She can just watch me work out, do a quick HIIT session.
Yeah, yeah.
By about 8 o'clock, she's really whingy, and then she'll just pass out, and she'll be gone for like 2 hours
so
straight.
Completely straight out.
Like, you know, I'll be walking around, she's like, she almost doesn't look like she's alive. She's alive, I checked, she's breathing. Yeah, yeah. She's breathing.
She's breathing, good.
And then she gets up, she's a bit buzzy. I give her some milk, or well, the other day I just gave her like a latte, which had milk in it, and cooled it down. And she had a real buzz from that. I find when she has a coffee, she stays awake a lot, and she's more alert.
Caffeine.
Well, no, because coffee with me, I need 3 or 4 to get me going, but one for her,
she loves like a bag of Coke or something.
She loves a latte with chocolate on it.
Right,
so
okay.
She has that, but then about 4, she's going to get grouchy and she passes out. And then, you know, we had dinner last night, as I said, first time this holiday.
Yeah.
And she fell asleep at the table. Now, granted, I was talking about, you know, the FTSE and how the pound sterling was holding up against the US dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that's not that entertaining for kids.
Not to
but
all.
What I was
not
saying was
kids.
Actually really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds fascinating.
So she just was flat down in her chair, like a baby chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Fell asleep, and then she didn't wake up till 5 o'clock this morning.
But do you ever think?
So, I mean, quite rude.
Yeah, yeah.
But manners will come. I keep saying manneth will maketh the woman.
Archie, have you never thought about just getting a nanny for a couple of days and then treating yourself, going out?
To be honest, I had no idea. Like, all of this you knew, but apparently you can get someone to come in and look after them the whole day.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I've got a friend of mine text me, and they know a really good Filipino nanny who's going to come and do a whole day tomorrow. And I'm sunbathing, I'm lashing it up, I'm heading to Geckos. And I even said to the nanny, look, I'll probably need the next day because I'm going big. Like, Geckos is getting taken down. But no, mate, it's all good out here. It's a different kind of holiday when you go with children, especially a baby. Probably won't be doing this too much unless the nanny comes. To be honest, I would love to see her in a bikini.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to make you hang around all day because Archie Curzon's just had to run off because little Johnny Jono Haskell Abendon Curzon is crying her eyes out. So here's a little treat which we recorded just the day before Archie headed off to Val de Lobo with his daughter, and it's with one of the greatest Scottish legends of all time, married now to the wonderful Gabby Logan, but incredibly famous in his own right, and Jesus Christ, does he have some of those stories. So strap in and enjoy the wonderful Kenny Logan. I should say it's an absolute joy to be joined by one of Scotland's greatest ever players in Kenny Logan. Kenny, a question we ask all our guests, how long have you been following the sort of ridiculous rants which come out of the man sat alongside me's mouth?
Probably about a year, actually. My son got me into him, but he's only 17, so you know, I've had to bring my standards right down to 17 year old.
He's a big fan.
Live off some banter.
Yeah, right. He sent me a photo actually the other day of him in a vest, a Clapham Falcons rugby vest.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, because he's at Northampton, isn't he, Kenny?
Yeah, he's just joined, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He seemed like he's got some pretty good chat. He's in phenomenal shape for a 17-year-old.
He's well rigged up.
Yeah, he's certainly got a rig.
Well, he's got incredible genes. His mother's a gymnast, his father's a professional rugby player. I mean, your father was a banker, your mother was...
Yeah, that's why I've done
housework.
So well in the business world. And on the rugby side, that's from my mother. She is...
Was she a player?
No, but she had a very big quads, and I got those quads from her.
Right,
so,
okay.
She was a wonderful woman. Wonderful, wonderful woman.
Mrs. Curzon.
Didn't see her enough.
No,
she's now with her boyfriend, Jamal. He's a really good guy. He's a music producer. He's originally from Miami.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Really good guy there. Really good guy.
How old is he?
He's 2 years older than me, so he's 38.
How's your mum?
She's 62. Yeah, yeah.
62,
yeah, yeah. But she's a live one, tell you. She's decent on the
So both your dad and
that's
mum.
That's good for you for the future, isn't it? What you think about it?
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It is good.
You got a girlfriend?
Have I got a girlfriend? No, I haven't got a girlfriend. I'm a single father, Kenny. It's wonderful. It is a wonderful, wonderful experience. But she's 8 months old, and I didn't realize, no one told me this, but she's got no banter at the moment. But hopefully in the years to come, she will sort of, you know, she'll get my gene and have the chat.
Well, Kenny's obviously a father, twins. Kenny, when do they start to have a bit of banter about them?
Well, to be honest, the banter's good now. 17's good.
Yeah.
But I think about 12-year-old Ruben was quite cheeky and you're quite an open family. So he used to push the boundaries. My daughter has got good banter, but she thinks before she speaks.
Yeah.
Sometimes we open our mouth, a bit like me, I suppose. Open it and then think after. A bit like you, Archie.
I don't think before I speak. I'm like a machine gun. That's what I like. When I'm in the business, you know, in the business world of the boardroom or I'm in the Ned, I'm just like that. I don't take a breath. I'm just bam, 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 bam. And I find at least 20% of it is good chat. And that 20% lands, bang, the client's like, can I buy off you? Yeah. Like, yeah. Because you don't buy, you buy off other people.
Yeah.
People buy off good people. And that's one of the things.
I didn't
even think about what I just said there. And I just said, and that's 20% of it is good.
But you know, when I was at WASP, my nickname was the chat. And I had the chat across my gum shield. So slightly behind the curve on that front.
It's almost like you could be my father.
I might be, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you ever meet a Welsh woman with large quads in any bars in Clapham?
Yeah, there was definitely one girl with large quads. She's standing at the edge of the bar.
I
think you could be Simon Shaw's, actually.
Yeah. Well, we did a live podcast with Simon Shaw. And
he was Clapham.
I think he
was like a cornerstone of Clapham.
He wanted
to revolve around him.
He wanted to disown me after our live podcast. I think he found the evening quite strange.
I think he found it hard when you started demonstrating your vibrating technique on that guy on the floor.
Yeah, I think that was the turning point for Shorzy. But good guy, actually, Shorzy. He was a great guest.
Well, you know, Shorzy's a big old boy, and you know, talking about being a big boy in a certain position in football. Apparently, you were destined to play in goal for some Scottish Premier League teams before rugby. So, I mean,
I was destined, but I had two trials for Hearts and Dundee United. One was a striker, and one was a goalkeeper, and I missed them both because I was rugby training. And I told them I couldn't go, and they said, "Well, you're going to miss out a professional career." So, I like rugby better. And he said, I think you're missing out here, son. You're making a big mistake. And I actually said to him at the time, I'll decide on my mistakes, not you.
Kenny, let's go into your career, because obviously you started out in the earlier days before professional rugby, and your career sort of bridged the gap between amateur and pro. So I'm guessing when you were playing for Stirling County in the Scottish Prem before it all went professional, like Archie being a semi-pro, you had to have a job alongside rugby, or didn't you? And if so, what were you doing?
Yeah. I was a farmer. My dad died when I was 20 years old. Oh. And then I ran the farm. And I was 1 minute delivering shit to somebody's back garden. And that is true. And the next minute, I'm playing at Twickenham or Millennium Stadium. Well, it wouldn't be Millennium, Cardiff Arms Park at the time. And I remember one day taking this lady a 4-ton of manure around to her garden. And I reversed the tractor and dumped it in the driveway. And she said to me, "Are you the guy from the rugby club? Are you the rugby player?" I went, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh my God, this shit smells even better."
Oh my God. Sounds a bit like your neighbour.
Yeah, yeah, Albert.
I did dump a load of shit once in somebody's garden. This guy said, "Dump it here." I dumped it there and they'd had a massive row. They had a boundary dispute and I dumped it in the lady's driveway. Well, the guy's driveway. It wasn't his driveway. And it was 10 tons of it. And I just drove off. The guy's going, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Jesus Christ.
Do you think that gave you a bit of an advantage? Because they say that farmers have got like a weird strength. Do you think that is true?
I think there's genuine natural strength farmers have.
Yeah.
I mean, I was never that strong in the gym, but in the field I was really strong. I was far stronger.
Yeah,
And I had that natural ability, like wrestling feel, because you know, many times the young sheep as a young man, you know,
they
keep it off, keep it clean. But these sheep, when they go,
oh no, don't keep it clean,
they shift.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, in a way, similar to Kenny and the farm in boarding school from the age of 7, you know, I had to wrestle other boys in the showers.
In the showers,
and I've got boarding school strength.
Right,
like,
okay.
Kenny's got farmer strength. Like, I wasn't great in the gym at school.
Was that
wrist?
I
wasn't great, but when I was in the field, I was a slippery, you know, I knew all the weak spots.
You were tough to catch in the shower.
Yeah, basically.
Right. Rugby in the 90s in Scotland, pre-professionalism, there must have been a lot of alcohol involved and some, you know, incredibly interesting initiations for the likes of Stirling, Glasgow, especially being a farming boy. Can you give
Stirling,
us the weirdest one?
The weirdest one. Oh, my God. Well, there's a guy called Stuart Hamilton, sadly passed away. He was a bit of a legend from our local rugby club. And if whatever he did, the whole team had to follow. So if he downed a pint, downed a pint. So he started this thing of just having one of your testicles hanging out. So we were like, we can't walk it, but this cannot happen. So he was the captain. He was like, 35 years old and been there since I've been. He was a big football. He was a Rangers fan. Big bit of a legend in Scotland. So he used to call it Boat. So you had to walk around with your ball out. And I mean, we'd gone into receptions, sitting there with one of our testicles. I was lucky because my testicle was so small,
yeah,
you couldn't see it. But we would sit in meetings and not meetings, but dinners, sitting what? And if you didn't have it out, it was just you would be shamed. But we won the league, and he said, "Right, it's ball out time, boys. We've won the league." And we're like, "No, please not tonight. Please, this one night we do not want to have our ball out." He goes, "No, tonight. I have to see one of your balls out at one stage of the evening." See, I remember running through, I've got it out, it's out, back in. So there's that. There was, I mean, from a Scottish Rugby Union point of view, we didn't really have many. We used to go out in the lash on a Wednesday night before we played on the Saturday, proper lash. Like, you woke up in the morning and you didn't know where you were, and you were going to training. You ran for about an hour to run it off. Then training really started. And then when you finished, you thought, "Oh my God, I could do it here in the dog." But you knew you couldn't because you're playing in 2 days' time. And then once the game started to go professional, that changed very quickly. But just to give you a little insight, when we just joined Wasps, Thursday night, massive night, Clapham Grand, or Embargoes, or the Crocodiles, which was a famous nightclub bar. We used to go after the P&P on a Sunday at Leopard Lounge. Remember Leopard Lounge? Mm. Too young, obviously.
Where's Leopard Lounge?
Leopard Lounge is in the foot, just off, you know, the Tesco's now, next to Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
Leopard Lounge used to be there.
Did that not used to be Purple?
No, Purple was the new, that. Well, Purple became Leopard Lounge, but that was into the stadium.
Okay.
Leopard Lounge was the, and we Clapham Grand. We'd go out on a Thursday night and enjoy a Thursday night.
Yeah,
proper
yeah.
Enjoy.
Thirsty Thursday,
and then the Friday, we ran it off, played on Saturday, won the league. That's how we went. Following season, exact same Thursday night, same scenario. Started to go down the league.
No.
Realised after 3 or 4 games, we Lawrence Delalio pulled us in and said, "Listen, lads, you got to stop drinking on Thursday night. You're going to ruin it. We're going to lose what we've built." And he said, "But I think if we move it to Wednesday," what a decision that made.
Yeah.
Move it to Wednesday.
Clever.
Give us that 24-hour recovery. Straight back out of the league. Finish second.
97, you get your big break. Professionalism is here, you're making money, you join Wasps, you're alongside Delalio, Worsley, Simon Shaw, Josh Lucy. How much fun was it moving down to London from, you know, the small sort of Outer Hebrides in Scotland to the big city?
Well, it's not quite the Outer Hebrides, but I know what you're saying. I moved straight into Chelsea Harbour because I need to be I need to be around where Lady Diana was, and I need to bring myself to the big, the city and the big fish. You know, I was coming down here.
Slimy.
And I said, "Right, I need to make an impact, you know?"
Yeah.
So my impact was quite easy. 5 tries, my debut. And I thought to myself, what's this game all about?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
easy.
I mean, 5 tries. So that night, Lawrence Delalio decided that I had to have 5 tequilas. So he brought 5 tequilas out, and we banged the 5 back. He goes, "Another 5. Banged the 5 back, another 5.
Oh,
I had 24 tequilas.
Jesus.
I was flat on my face. I was in Picture and Piano, I was gone, and they were still all standing there. I'm thinking, I've got to learn how to drink now.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing.
Welcome to Clapham.
I didn't realise they had 25 waters.
They had 25 waters, yeah. That's a good technique. Right.
So that was my sort of introduction to waters, and I realised really quickly I had to slip my eyes open.
Are you still close to all those guys now?
Do you know, bizarrely, Josh Lucy came, he texts me, and do you know nowadays people don't text, go, "I'm coming and see you for half an hour."
Yeah,
and you go, "Oh my God, you can't because it's not arranged."
Yeah,
"Oh my
yeah.
God, why are you coming and see me? You should have let me know." He texts me and said, "What are you up to today?" "I'm in town." I said, Come for lunch. Little glass of rosé, sat in the garden, ugh, chewed the fat. It was really good to see him.
How terrifying was Trevor Leota? There must have been some big punch-ups in training.
He is the most terrifying man I've ever come across. His first training session, he turned up without a word of a lie, flip-flops, shorts, T-shirt, and a black bag. And I said, "Where's your kit?" He goes, "I've got it here, bro." He had 3 pairs of pants, a couple of pairs of socks, And he just lived and then went into the kit man and just kitted him up. Trevor was the hardest hitting human being I've ever come across. I came flying through the middle and he named me douche, out cold, first touch of the, his first tackle. And we went, Jesus Christ. And then he started doing that to people every week. So what used to happen is he was banned from tackling at training because he was literally putting you down, like taking you out for 3 weeks. So we realised really quickly that you won't be in Trevor's team, right? So we used to have two jerseys, red jersey and a yellow jersey. So most of the time it was even, right? Reds and the reds. So we would go through and go, he's on the yellow, he's in the yellow, yellow jersey. Yeah. Whole team come out in yellow. And it happened for about a week and Nigel Melville's going, what the fuck, what's going on here? We're like, he's got to stop tackling. As soon as I see him, I just throw the ball away. So anyway, during the training session, he got a bit angry. He got a bit angry and he hit Delalio. Oh, I mean, proper, poof, feet. Whoosh, I mean, I thought it snapped. Fair dues, Lawrence got up and went, is that your best? And he was just, oh. His head was just stuck on top of his shoulders. They forgot. Then this is which put his neck in his head. His lips was this straight on. And he was about 5'7", maybe six. And if you Google him, some of the hits, he'd probably get red carded every week.
It's weird because it sounds very similar. So 5'6", no neck.
Sounds like you.
No, it sounds like a girl I got with the other weekend. She hit hard, I tell you. She hit hard. Yeah. When we snogged, it was intense.
Well, we're talking about hitting hard. 2001, Sean Edwards joins, creates the blitz defense, lives as a legend in the game for, you know, ever and a day. What are your memories of him? Because apparently he is the craziest coach and loves to get involved in a fight with his boys.
Yeah, Saki told us a wonderful story about him on a night out.
Punching Paul Volley.
Yeah.
To be fair, we all wanted to punch Paul Volley that night. He was just one of the queue. He was in front of the queue. He punched him to try and get a reaction after a loss.
Yeah.
And but he used to, because he was still skillful, right? I remember our first game we're playing and you would do an ice bath after. So you do 10 minutes in the ice bath and then 5 minutes in the hot tub. We've just played a game. He's pushing us out the way to do the ice bath. So he literally did everything apart from play the game. He's screaming at us, shouting at us. And then he goes, can you get out of the bath? I went, I've just got in. I need the bath. I need the bath. And he sits in the bath. He's going, oh my God, it's cold. Oh, and he jumps out the bath. So I get back in. He jumps in the shower. And for 10 minutes, he just continued. I kept getting out, in and out. Because he wanted to do the ice bath with the team, right? He was one of these guys that just lived every minute of the game and obsessed by it. Right, obsessed by the adrenaline, the feeling of the game, smashing people, making people feel uncomfortable. You know, he'd come into you. I remember I was playing against England, and he says, right, Kenny, who are you playing against this weekend? I said, England. He goes, who is it? I said, Josh Lucy. He goes, right. So he takes me out, and he tells me all the bad things about Josh and all the good things, right? Then I get in my car, and I'm just driving out. He's now got Josh in the pitch, doing the exact same to Josh about me. These are the good things about Kenny. These are the bad things, you know? So he was one of these guys that just wanted the best for you, right? And the reason teams do well, because you get obsessed by his enthusiasm, right? And his drive to be successful. And you just, it's like a disease. It's that it makes you so addicted to be good and you don't want to let him down.
Do you think England missed the trick not getting him in?
Big time.
Yeah.
Seemingly, I don't know if this is true story or not, but I think it probably is, knowing Sean. He gets people's rooms keys in the middle of the night and runs in the rooms and just jumps on top of them, whoever they are. Are you up for this game? And they're doing a headlock. Are you up for tomorrow? And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. So he literally gets people raging before the game, hours before the game. He's in your face. He's a force of nature, right? And he's angry, but lovely at the same time, and cares for you.
I'm going to start doing that. Can you leave me a set of keys to your house? Because I think we need to up our standards of this podcast.
I think you should.
I'm going to come round to your house at 2 o'clock. Do you sleep? You've got a girlfriend, though.
Yeah.
Better warn her, baby. Better warn her. I'm coming in. I'm going to be angry.
Even better.
commercial break.
Yeah, listen up, soldiers. This is a very harsh lesson I've had to learn myself. I've lived through it. I was about to get the hottest girl in the world, and then she saw my bush. Yeah, I'm living in Clapham Junction. Clap see for most of these behind cabbies and balls and hot cheekers are out on the street. Summer's here, I'm horny out in the sun. She wanna fucking weed. Playing up in Clapham Common and rolling out in that London breeze. 2023 and I'm on a 30-year-old and many schemes. I dream of making money in the city just like Archie. Thicker lips, I remember necking up for that young Australian. Just made a day and then she made her way. Celeve. I was in a furnace blowing girls away. Feeling love for the first time. Girls just seem to really wanna fuck. I remember the days when I was grinding, dancing, snogging, pulled away. Clutching onto perfect 10 and hoping she won't go away. Loving taxi rides and snogging in the dark at night. She's putting for my cot right now, but then she gets a fucking fright. Fucking big old bush comes to hit a tush, and now she's running for the hills cause she don't like bush. Sometimes as guys we forget what the girls want. They don't want bush. Sometimes as guys we forget what the girls want. They don't want bush. Sometimes as guys we forget what the girls want. They don't want bush. So shave your bush, yeah. Shave your fucking bushes. Everybody listening to this now, click on the link in this podcast bio and you will be able to get 20% off and free delivery on all award-winning Manscaped products, okay? Please, sort it now. It's hot out there. Things are going to get worse a lot sooner. There will be no future. Shave your bush. And whilst you're at it, also click on the Beer 52 link and treat yourself to three bottles of beers. Anyway, enjoy the rest of this interview. Ciao, bello. Well, talking about another great leader, you obviously got to play under Warren Gatland as well during a period at the club where you guys won everything, domestic, European, just incredible on and off the pitch. But apparently Warren loves a scrap as well. I mean, obviously you look at Sean and you go like, this guy loves a drink, loves a scrap. But apparently Warren's a secret, you know, big drinker and enjoys a scrap as well.
He once said to me, I'd stopped drinking for 3 or 4 months. And he said to me, before the World Cup, for my last World Cup, he said, I'll stop drinking. And he said, oh, good. And then about 2 months into him, he stopped drinking pre-season, started playing for Wasps a couple of games before the Scotland trip. And Gat said, played against a friendly match, played woeful, absolutely terrible. And he said to me, he said, listen, mate, he said, what's wrong with you? I said, I've stopped the drinking. Yeah, I told you earlier. He goes, I thought you were joking. He said, if you keep playing like that, you won't even get in the Wasps team, never mind Scotland team. So then the following week, I have another... didn't play that well. So he said to me, right, Wednesday night. So I go and see him on Wednesday night. It's 2 pints of beer there. So him and I get lashed together. Playing the weekend, 3 tries. Next Wednesday, meet him again, 2 tries. Following Wednesday, said, I've got it, Gats. Don't need to catch up. Find somebody else to drink with on Wednesday.
Well, I remember back in 2018, I had a period in the city where, you know, I was overthinking. I was overthinking business. And the same thing happened to me. Just the Q2, Q3, right down. And then I just went back to just enjoying business. And it was actually what you're saying, off the ball. But really what I was doing in the office when I wasn't with quiet clients, you know, I was melting those phones. I was making those calls, I was grafting, and I was enjoying it. I was back to enjoying, just the headset exactly. On, and I was just like, hello, John, I do it for this well. This is Archie Cousin here. Sorry to call you. I know we've never spoken before. I work in the city. I'm guessing your business is progressing positively. It was. And then straight away, more meetings, and then the money just came in. And, yeah. And actually, you know, I haven't looked back since that day. I drink, but I enjoy it. Again, I stopped drinking because I thought that was affecting my business. It wasn't. And now I'm doing really well. I mean, I'm still not at the point where I've made enough money to be happy, but I'm getting there. My dad said to me, when you've made enough money, you'll be happy. So best bit of advice he ever gave me.
You'll get there.
I will get there.
The one I had the other day, it was just recently, it was a really good guy, a friend of mine. Think big, but think simple at the same time.
Yeah. That's what actually, that I might put that towards my future wife. That's how I'm going to think about. Think simple, think big. No, what?
Think average, think me.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's it. Yeah, write that down because I want to get that tattooed on me.
Kenny, let's go a bit show busy now because when you were becoming a famous player, obviously scoring 5 tries a week for the Wasps, 3 tries a week for fucking Scotland and winning all these amazing titles.
Living in Chelsea Harbour,
you become a famous guy. Oh my God, who's that you're dating? You're dating a Scottish icon in Kirsty Young, Desert Island Discs. Wonderful couple of years there. And then you decide to move on. You say enough's enough. And you meet the wonderful Gabby, now Logan. I'm not sure what her maiden name is. But you guys have been together for 20 years, got a wonderful family. How did you guys first meet? Because I hear it was in Southwest London, probably Chelsea.
Remember the K-Bar?
The K-Bar. Where's that?
K-Bar. Fulham, just off Fulham Road. Just, I think the pub across is at the Tap.
Yeah. I know that.
Nice used to be a little bar down there called the K-Bar. Oh. Most boys used to use that in a very regular, me and Peter Scrivener and Sammy Shaw.
So go, lads. To tell us how it came about there.
So I was down there and had a couple of beers with lads and I see this girl and I thought, right, opportunity, here we go. So I smoothed myself in there and she was with another guy, Scottish guy, and he was chatting with her. And he said to her, would you like a drink? She gets a drink. So this is Kenny and, oh, nice to meet you. Got the drinks, made myself a bit wider. She couldn't get back in the mix, couldn't he? Didn't get back in the mix. Every time he came in, I was just like... Like Alice Schwarzenegger.
Like John Terry, man marking.
I was man marking her. And then I had a bit of banter. And then I went round the corner and said to my mates, you won't believe it. Right, just so you know, her real name was Gabby Yorath. Her dad was a famous footballer, Leeds United, Wales. And I went through, I'm around the corner, and I just said to him, it's Gabby Roslin. Gabby Roslin's around there. She's really keen for me. I've got to go back. And as I walked around the corner, Simon Shaw and Peter Scrivener go, it's Gabby Yorath, you dickhead. I went, yeah, that's her name. And then that was it. The rest is history. She's happy as Larry.
Well, you say she's happy as Larry. You say she's happy as Larry, but you were paranoid that she was going to break up with you when she realised you were dyslexic.
Oh yeah.
Can you tell us that quick anecdote?
I didn't realize this podcast was going this deep.
Anyway. Oh no, we go deep.
Well, we
go
do research. Deep. We're like Piers Morgan mixed with Alan Partridge.
Right. What was Alan Partridge?
Freddie's the Alan Partridge. I'm Piers Morgan.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah. So I basically, I left school at 16, couldn't read and write, didn't learn to read until I was 30 odd. Met Gabby when I was 26. And then she was an article in the Daily Mail. And she said to me, what do you think of this article? I'm sort of looking at that thinking, right, a couple of pictures, right? I mean, how long would this take to read? 10 minutes, 5 minutes? So I just said to her, that's a really good article. And she says to me, you're a quick reader. I said, yeah, I'm pretty quick. Don't want to brag too much. And then she said, you can't read, can you? I said, thinking, my God, nobody's ever said that to me. And I'd sort of kept that. Nobody ever knew I couldn't read. Or even the Wasp boys used to manage to sort of make myself scarce and need to do stuff like that. And then she caught me out and I actually thought she was going to dump me. She gave me a hug and said, you're going to dump me. And she went, why would I dump you? You're an amazing man. And that was it.
Cool.
Gave me the courage to then talk about it and do something about it. So I was very lucky to have somebody who understood what I was going through.
She also gave you the courage recently after, it's been an awful 48 months, hasn't it, really? You've lost a lot of your great dear friends to the rugby world. But she gave you the courage and conviction to go and sort yourself out and go and check after losing so many of your great friends. She said, look, go have a sort of full MOT and just double check everything's okay. And the most horrific thing, which was completely unexpected, came about when you realised that you had cancer. I mean, how horribly terrifying was that moment when you heard the words, you have cancer? And how indebted are you to her for, you know, making sure? Because apparently you were completely symptomless.
Yeah, well, so my story is, Gabby's got a podcast, which is called The Midpoint. And it's all about midlife and people changing jobs or, you know, people like John Bishop being a comedian at 40 years old, giving up his job. And I was hearing all these things. And Davina McCall came on and she talked about having a dry fanny. And I thought, wow, if she's got a dry fanny, what's happened to me? So I came back and I said to Gabby, I can't believe Davina McCall said. And she went, yeah. So I said, well, if that's what women are going through, what are men going through? She goes, why do you not just go and get like a Wellman's test? Go and get tested and see what, have a look at your hormones and stuff like that. So I went to get tested. And when I got tested, the guy said, you've got your prostate levels are high, your PSA levels. So he said, I wouldn't worry about it, but I said, okay, fine. So I told a friend of mine who was in the cancer world, he said, right, got to go and see this guy. So I went to see this guy called Declan Cahill, top specialist in the UK. And he said, I'll monitor you then within a year and a bit. He's sitting down on sitting in my office and said, right, got prostate cancer. We need to get it out. So it was a bit of a shock because Gabby and I knew about it. I was just getting monitored. And he said, you know, the biggest thing he said to me, 40% of your mates have got the same as you've got, no symptoms. that's inside waiting to happen. And by the time, if they don't get checked, then they get to that sort of, I was 48 at the time, almost 49. I was 48, 49. Don't get checked, it'll come along. By the time, and when it does come along, it's too late. So I got it out about a year ago now, and I'm fully back. Everyone's great and cancer-free.
Well, just made you realise you've got to just keep checking as much as possible.
Yeah.
And not yourself.
Well,
you've got to get a doctor to check, yeah?
I was going to get my next-door neighbour, Albert.
No,
get a doctor. Well, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Didn't you get in a bit of trouble there? Because obviously, thank God, everything's, you know, it was spotted early enough.
Yeah, I got a row for saying my sex life.
To remove it, yeah. And then you go into a podcast and you start saying, oh, you know, my sex life's not back to normal. And Gabby's going, wait a second. What the hell's going on here?
I did an interview. And I said in the interview that, you know, when you get prostate out, there is a potential your sex life won't be the same again.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm on the road to recovery. And he put in, Kenny's sex life's not the same again. I got a bit of a bollocking for that. So Gabby and I did a podcast about sex life. Well, not really sex life, just about...
But you were speaking about the wonders of Viagra, weren't you? And I know Archie's developed something.
Oh, the old blue boys, yeah. I'm not on them now, though. I'm finished.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you developed something with Dr. Orzo during lockdown, didn't you?
Yeah. But that lasted 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
did you?
Yeah, people. Well, I designed it with a doctor, Dr. Orzo in Turkey. We advertised it on the pod. Unfortunately, a few people, there's one guy still who has an erection. Took it 2 years ago. And it's really affected his work. His day-to-day life has changed dramatically. Gym, everything. He was getting better results in the gym, but it's just... people are finding
it's just hard for them, isn't it?
It's difficult. The right times it's great, but the wrong times it's not good. You know, he's on the tube and people are, you know, they're put up. But we later did sell on the pod like a workout band that he could use. And he just has that.
Strong.
And that's actually worked on his core. So that's great.
Kenny, all I can say is, sorry.
Kenny, can I just say one thing? Because obviously I met you at the dinner the other night.
Yeah.
And it was all for Doddy Weir that I know, obviously, you are very close friends with. And it massively struck me in terms of like MND and the Rob Burrow story, and obviously Ed Slater. We've done some stuff for Ed Slater live podcast for it, but I couldn't sort of get it out of my mind. And I'm considering, I'll say it live in the podcast.
Yeah,
I'm considering doing a challenge for the Doddy Weir Foundation.
I've got you one.
What is it?
Part of my challenge.
What is it?
It's in October.
Yeah.
We're cycling, walking all the way to Paris. For Doddy, we've got Alan McCoy's doing it, Jimmy Nesbitt, myself. Mm. There's about 20 of us. We start in Edinburgh. We do 100 miles on the bike. 10 people do 100 miles on the bike. The other 10, 25-mile walk. The next day, the walkers are on the bike. The cyclists are walking. And we go all the way to Paris. And we're taking the match ball for the Scotland Island game. Are you in or not? You've got to raise 15 grand.
Are you in?
I'll do it. I was going to do something else, but I will do it.
You've got to raise 15 grand. We can do that. Easy.
I'll easily raise 15 grand, yeah. I will do it. Sign me up. I will do it. 100%.
And we'll do some good podcasts en route. Hopefully John Bishop's going to do it.
Let's do it. Clearly,
McCoy's going to do it. We've got some right legends in
right.
there.
We've just seen a deal happen on the pod.
Can you send us the details via email after this?
Details.
We'll get going. Yeah. We'll get going on it.
That's how you do business.
That is how you do business. Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Does he have chat or does he have no chat?
Does he have chat or does he have no chat? Gonna ask those questions now. Rob Howley.
No chat.
Simon Shaw.
Average chat.
Joe Worsley.
No chat.
Delalio.
A better chat.
Josh Lucy.
No chat.
James Askell.
Fucking too much chat.
Mark Van Gisberg.
Good chat.
Gregor Townsend.
Good chat.
Alan Tate.
Tight chat.
And finally, Cammy Murray.
Good chat.
Well, you've got absolutely wonderful chat, Kenny. You've been an absolute legend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for
coming on.
Send us the details. We're coming.
You're good, lad.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you so much.
Love and champagne. Love and champagne. Cheers, Kenny.
Mate. Well, Archie, that was absolutely wonderful. I'm glad that you're going to get a bit of your holiday to enjoy.
What's the weather like back in Clapham?
Oh, boiling hot.
Is there?
Yeah, yeah. It's like 25, 26.
The Common been looking good?
Incredible.
Yeah, someone did text me a few reports saying it's been...
Do you get homesick when you're abroad?
Yeah, I do. I have a photo of Clapham Common on my phone.
Right.
My home screen. And I looked at that the other night. And I was pretty emotional, actually.
When you're in the hospital,
I miss it. Yeah, I do. I do miss it. Yeah, I do. Like, how's the...
Are you good?
Yeah, no, it is tough being away from the area that I love. I do find it. Have you been past number 32?
Yeah.
Is it heaving?
Packed.
Oh, what?
Terrace is the house thing everyone's talking about. Yeah. It's a really good vibe.
Send my best.
Yeah.
I
will do.
What have they had, like the gelato thing?
Queues around the corner. Kids laughing, adults having fun. It's amazing.
I bet Joe Publix has been busy, isn't it?
Selling pizza by the boatload. Yeah. Everything's doing incredibly well without you here, too. Yeah.
Can you just do me a favour?
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. I'm a bit emotional. It's just been a long, holiday.
Sounds like it's
I've loved it. Don't get me wrong. I've loved it. I love Adelobo. You know, it's a home away from home. I mean, it's no Dubai, but it, you know.
Yeah.
but you know, just can you do me a favour? Can you go in a Waitrose and just ask for Andy? Just ask Andy and just tell him Arch says all right.
Okay.
Just a guy I see the whole time in Waitrose by the chicken aisle. He works there, and he always puts some to the back just in case everyone takes it. Just tell him I said hello. Okay. I'll be in next week.
One in Clapham Common, yeah?
Yeah. The one by the opposite.
Not the one in Ballam.
No, the one in Clapham Common. Yeah, yeah. The little Waitrose.
Yeah.
Go and ask Randy. Tell him Arch says hello.
Okay.
So I'll be back in next week. Tell him. Okay. I'll be back on the chicken breast.
Okay, I'll let him know. Well, Archie, I mean, it's been wonderful to see you, sir. I hope you
it's boiling hot.
It's boiling hot. Everyone's happy. Everyone's, you know, loving life, really. No problems at all.
Okay.
But you have a good time at Gecko's tomorrow.
I will. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be on my own, but...
Have you been enjoying the food out there, by the way?
Yeah, I've been enjoying the food, Clodis, but it's not the same because, like I said, little Johnny doesn't really have an idea of cuisine.
No.
Which is disappointing because it was nice to share some garlic prawns.
Yeah.
She can't literally get the shell off. That's what I'm trying to say.
She's got no teeth or fingers.
She hasn't got the ability to rip
the grip.
She can hold the prawn.
Yeah.
But
she doesn't understand the concept of...
rip the head off and then she gets her hands... And the amount of wet wipes have gone through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in any session, it's all new to me.
Yeah, she's a baby. Yeah.
Yeah, she is. So I'm off anyway. Anyone can do it. I can do it.
What are your plans this afternoon?
Like I said, we're going for dinner tonight. We're gonna go to Maria's. We're hopefully, if she can hold out, we're gonna go for some pre-lash on the roof,
right,
and then head down for dinner. But our booking's not till 9:30.
Okay.
And the other night she was an absolute nightmare. Thing with babies is because they can't talk. If they don't like something, just cry.
Yeah.
They just cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and they cry a lot.
Yeah. Well, maybe no more coffees because.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I said to Jill, Johnny, I said, where Daddy's talking. Yeah. I said shush. I said we're going to go for a few coffees before just to get our G'd up and then we'll see where the night takes us.
A couple of coffees and then on to the lash.
I'll be getting on the lash tonight. Yeah. Because I want to show what I'm good at.
Yeah.
Anyway, mate, look, I better go because I'm...
Yeah, I can hear her crying in the background.
She's going nightmare. All right, mate.
Mate, I'll see you next week.
Remember to talk to Andy.
Yeah. Make sure you sort out that insurance.
All right, mate.
Bye-bye.
into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No